All young people, teenagers, listen up this morning. I'm preaching to you. I hadn't done this in a while. And usually I do something like this for the youth rally and stuff. But I'm going to do it this morning, Lord willing. And you don't want to miss tonight's service. If you're married or wish you was or glad you ain't or glad wish you wasn't or hoping to be or in between, you need to be here tonight. And that gets everybody. You need to be here tonight. Do not miss the service tonight. It'll help you. John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. Jesus made a great statement here. John 6. And we'll not read the entire passage this morning for time's sake. He said in verse 27. We all need to learn this. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Look at verse 32. Then Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life to the world. Now, look at verse number, somewhere down there around 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 48. I am that bread of life. This is the bread. Verse 50. This is the bread which come down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Look at verse number 58. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers that eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. And Jesus here was saying, and what you need. Now, I want every teenager in here this morning, or anyone below 25, and all you little kids, 8, 9, 10, 11, to listen, especially this morning, because this is just for you. A lot of times you think, well, he's just preaching them old people and it don't concern this. Just to you this morning. You listen carefully. Why do young people need Jesus? Why? That's a title. Why do young people need Jesus? We have an idea in the world today, a lot of people do, that Jesus and God and church and Bible and religion is just something for old people who have used up their best time in life and ain't got nothing else better to do. So they go to church and use it as a crutch to keep them occupied till they die. And a lot of young people think, hey man, life's too exciting and fun. I don't need the Lord. I don't need the Lord in my life. I'm having too much fun right now. Well, let me tell you why young people need Jesus. You know, we're in a generation that don't think it needs anything. We think we've met all of our needs. Isn't that right? We have bulldozers remove our mountains. We don't need faith anymore. We have penicillin when we get sick. We don't need prayer anymore. We have positive thinking. So we don't need salvation. We have the state to take care of us when we need groceries. We don't need the church. We have science to tell us where we come from. We no longer need the Bible, we think. We have Einsteins and people like that, the internet. So we think we don't need Jesus. But I'm going to tell you this morning, we definitely need the Lord. I'm going to talk to you this morning about why young people need Jesus Christ. And I want to remind you this morning, I am not talking about Jesus Christ superstar. I'm not talking about the weak, limp Hollywood version of a hippie Jesus who is about half feminine and knew not what it was to suffer. I'm not talking about Jesus Christ superstar. I'm talking about Jesus the bright and morning star. I'm not talking about Jesus who's going to turn you on. I'm talking about a Jesus that come to turn you around and point you in the right direction. I'm not talking about a Jesus that come to get you high. I never did like to hear people say that. Well, I'm high on Jesus. No, you're not. I'm not talking about Jesus come to get you high. I'm talking about Jesus who come to make you low and help you get down on your knees and repent and turn you toward God. You need the Lord this morning. Now let me say three things, young people. And you'll go. Come back tonight and you'll get the full dose. I want to say first of all this morning, young people need Jesus for courage and protection. You think about it. You ever thought about what kind of courage it would take to be 18 years old now, or 16, or 15, or 14? Honest, I would hate to know. I would hate to be 16 years old this morning and look at the world the way it is and think what I'm facing without the Lord. That'd be awful. That'd be awful. Did you know that? I'm going to prove what I'm saying. Did you know that the second leading cause of death, the second leading cause that young people die between 15 and 24 is suicide. All right, behind car wrecks. Car wrecks is first and suicide is second. Do you know why there's so many young people kill themselves? It's because life gets so bad and so tough and they simply don't have the courage to continue on and they say, I'd be better off just to take my own life. I'm going to be preaching about that soon. I'm working on a sermon just on suicide. And it would shock you this morning if we knew how many young people in here today had seriously considered taking their own life. I know plenty that have. Just in my lifetime, I know a young man who got to where he couldn't take it. He had been on drugs. He had been in trouble. I knew this young man too. Went out on his lunch break. Was on the top of about a four-story building. He'd go out there and sit every day and look off that building. And one day, just decided to jump off and ended his life. I know another young lady who was about 15 years old, had some trouble at school with grades, broke up with her boyfriend. And that's, you know, to me and you, that sounds like nothing. But to them, it just sounds like, it feels like the end of the world. She took a gun, went in the carport, put that gun to her head, and ended her life. That is so tragic. There are so many young people in America today that think, well, I can't face it. I'm having to go fight a war that I didn't start and don't understand. I'm having to work and pay all money in taxes and can't afford to make ends meet. I can't go further my education. I've got a baby. I've got this to take care of. My family's fighting. My boyfriend left me. My husband turned his back on me. What am I going to do? And I just simply don't. I'm going to take some guts and courage to go on in life and face it. And some of you sitting here this morning have been through times where you just thought, I just wish I'd die. I just wish it was over with. But I'm telling you, that's where the Lord comes in. The Lord will give you something to live for when there ain't nothing to live for. The Lord will give you a reason to go on when there ain't no reason to go on. The Lord will give you, listen, when you come in and find a note from your wife and she's gone and she's left you, listen, the Lord will let you have something to go on with. Listen, Jesus will help you have courage to face life when there's nothing else to live for. Amen. I tell you, I read about old David in the Bible. And that little boy, I ain't got time to tell you the whole story, but it was like all these people. And this big old guy come out like this. He is 9 foot tall. I ain't 9 foot tall standing on this thing. I'm 9 foot tall, maybe like this. And buddy, he was way up here. And he was Goliath. Big old dude. He could take old Yao Ming and pat him on the head like that right there and say, get out of my way, sonny. And boy, I'm telling you, he's standing like this, 9.5 foot tall. Had all that armor. He could take his arm and break that pulpit. And everybody was afraid of him. The grown-ups were afraid of him. The armies of God were afraid of him. And the Bible said this little boy come down through here. I don't know how it went, but if I was in the movie, it'd be like this. He's swinging his sling like this. And he comes down there like that. And boy, he comes down through there and he says, what's going on here? And everybody says, shh, be quiet, be quiet. Don't you see who's standing over there? And he said, I don't see nobody. About that time, Goliath come out there. And he come out and he said, yo, homie, come over here. And he started cussing. He'll blankety blank, blankety blank, blankety blank, blank, blank. Talk just like old Snoop Poop Dog. And boy, I'll tell you what, David got up there and he said, who in the world is that? Did you hear? You boys ain't supposed to be watching stuff like that. And they said, shh, we can't do nothing about it. He's bad news. We can't, it's okay. Everybody has a right to freedom of speech. He said, Lord, you fellas is brainwashed. He said, somebody over there and knock his block out. Lights out and block off. And he said, somebody ought to punch his lights out, man. Hey, somebody else. And then they said, no, David, we can't do it. We can't do it. He said, let me at him. And boy, I'll tell you one thing, you know the stuff, skip a lot of it. But old David went out there and David had something that Saul and the armies of Israel didn't have. David had something to face that giant. You young people, listen to me this morning. Y'all are facing giants. Big giants. The giants of peer pressure and drugs and alcohol. Y'all are facing major giants. All that stuff out there, the pressure to give in, the pressure to go along with the crowd, it's big. And you can't handle it by yourself. There's no way in the world. But thank God. Oh, David, give him a little sermon. And David got on. He said, I want to tell you something right now, Saul. He said, I was out there on the riverbank. And a bear come up. And going to get my daddy's sheep. And he said, amen. I don't know if he really did like that, but I like to hear little David preaching hack, wouldn't you? And he said, the Spirit of the Lord come upon me. And he said, I took that bear and I kicked him like this, and I kicked him like that, and I kicked him like this, and I hit him like that, and then there come a lion, and the Spirit of the Lord come upon me, and I jitsued him in the jaw and cut his throat. And he said, I threw him over the bank. And he said, the God that delivered me from the paw of the bear and the paw of the lion shall, not might, not maybe, not I think he can. He shall deliver me from the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine who has denied the armies of the living God. I don't know about you, boy, but I like a little boy like that. Amen. I like to see a young person that'll stand up and say, praise God, I don't care what the world throws at me. I'm ready. I've got Jesus in my heart, Holy Ghost down in my soul, and I've got courage to face life. That's what you need, young people. And you know the story. Oh, David, come running out there. He said, put up your dukes. And old Goliath went out there and looked at him. And he started laughing. Can you imagine? It would be like a giant this tall and this wide who could take, Cassius Clay and flip him over like that right there. Who could take Joe Frazier and just blow on him, knock him over with his breath. And boy, I'll tell you what. I mean, this dude was bad news. I mean, he was awful. And he looked at her and he said, looky there, boys. Is that what you got, Saul? Get out of here now, boy. Go on before you get hurt. And old David looked at him. He said, I'm going to tell you something right now. He said, I hope your wife's got good insurance on you, because it's over, buddy. The jig is up. I'm telling you, he put a little rock in that sling. And boy, he began to go around like that. And he said, God, get in that rock. And he said, prepare to meet God. And let go of that thing. It was like one of them guided missiles. And God Almighty guided that rock. Listen, I'd rather Goliath have his sword sticking at me than a rock that God Almighty was behind. And boy, he went smack dab right between his eyeballs and knocked him down. David cut his head off, went carrying that big old bloody head of that giant around with blood and guts dripping out of his neck. And Lord have mercy, I'm telling you, brother, it was awful. You never seen such a mess in your life. Remind me of a story I read the other day. This is not the message, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway. This guy stayed drunk all the time. And I mean, he was a drunk, awful. And he'd get sick and get drunk and go in and puke in the sink. And his wife told him, she said, one of these days you're going to puke your guts out and die. And she kept telling him, you're going to puke your guts out and die. Well, he's in the bedroom laying there, passed out, drunk one day. And she cleaned the chicken. And she brought this chicken in and cleaned it and washed it. And she cut it up. All the entrails of that chicken was left laying in the sink. She got it over here, was going to put it in the refrigerator, and went out of the room to do something. About that time, that old boy come in, holy son of my calf. I mean, he's ready to puke his guts out, like she said. He got in there, sink, and here it come. And he went ahead and done what he had to do. And she come back in, he's sitting over there just going like this, crying and weeping. And she said, honey, what is wrong with you? He said, you was right. He said, you was right. He said, you told me I was going to puke my guts out. And he said, I went in here, and sure enough, I puked my guts out. But by the grace of God, that big spoon, I got them back down again. That's the way Goliath looked. That's the way Goliath looked. Ain't that a blessing? That's a good story, ain't it? Boy, I tell you what, he's in worse shape then than he was when he was drunk. But anyway, he come out there, them guts hanging out of Goliath. He said, looky here, looky here, looky here, looky here, hallelujah. And I tell you, brother, David had the courage to face giant because that God Almighty had put it inside of it. It wasn't something he had on his own. The Lord put that in him. That's why you hear so many young people say, I'd never do this and I'd never do that and I'd never, and then they do it. That never happened to me. I've heard them say that. I'd never drink. I'd never do drugs. I'd never have premarital sex. And then they do it. You know why they do it? Because they don't have what's inside for the courage to say no. to say no. You need for courage, young people. You need courage. You're not strong enough by yourself. You don't possess the strength inside you to resist the world that without the Lord. You can't do it. I went to school with guys that wouldn't even cuss in high school. And then they went to college and went there. And now they're living like the devil. You know why? You don't have the strength to face this world by yourself. I don't care who you are. You say, I got a little willpower. You still ain't strong enough. You say, well, I'm smart. You are not smart enough. You ain't smarter than the devil, and you ain't stronger than the devil, and you can't outsmart this world. They'll chew you up and spit you out. You need for courage and protection. I tell you what, boy, I read about Dinah, that girl over there in Genesis 34. She's about 15 or 16 years old and went to a pajama party. You know what a pajama party is? Young girls like that, they all go and spend the night at one of them's house. And the old proverb says, for girls there, won't be long, the boys will be there. True. Amen? That's right. And boy, I tell you what, it wasn't long. Some old boy come along, messed her up. Dinah, you know, she got herself into a mess. And a man got killed over it. And all kinds of problems happened. You know why? Because Dinah, by herself, is not strong enough to say no to the devil and fight the devil. The same thing happened with a girl I knew years ago. Went down to Myrtle Beach, got messed up her whole life from then on. You know why? Not strong enough. Maybe you've heard me tell this story before. She called me one day. This girl, it's been a long time ago. She's about maybe 19. She called me one day and she said, she lived in a trailer about as far as here up at the red light from us. She called me and she said, Daddy, I said, what's wrong with you? She said, get down here right now. Please, can you help me? I said, Lord, what's wrong? I thought somebody's killing her. I thought she was dying. She said, please, come help me. Please. I said, what is wrong with you? She said, There's a mouse. There's a mouse in this here. I said, oh, it ain't going to hurt you. She's up on the bed like this with a phone, you know, and she said, it's in here somewhere. So can you come? I said, all right, I'll come down. All the way down the driveway. Come all the way down. And I knocked on the door. She said, come in. She was up on the furniture, brother. I mean, scared out of her wits of a mouse about that long. Now, I don't know. Now, if a mouse was to run underneath your legs right now, I mean, you would jump and shout a little bit or something like that. But really, they're not going to hurt you. They're a lot more scared of you. Your foot. What if you saw a foot as long as this church over top of your head? Are you going to go, ah! You're going to run, man. And that's how your foot looks to a giant. I mean, to a mouse. You look like a giant. To a mouse. And boy, I tell you what, that little thing there. And she said, it's in here. Can you find it? So I got the broom. And I said, let me find your broom, you know. And I went and took the broom. And I started sticking it under the chairs and under the bed like that, you know. And I went in the closet. She had about 100 pairs of shoes in that closet. Why a woman has to have so many shoes. Ain't enough to get them a dress. They got to have shoes to go with it. Amen, fellas? That's crazy. Got two pairs, black pair and brown pair. Amen. Wear it with everything. But anyway, I took a broom and I was going like this, and I was going up under the couch and up under the chairs, and all of a sudden there it went across the wall. She went like that. So I took the broom like that and I started beating it across the floor, you know, and I was hitting it like that, bam, bam, and I hit it, and it was on the floor and didn't kill it, and it was laying on the floor going like this. One leg was gone. So I opened the front door and just swept it out in the yard. And I was a hero and saved the day. And she said, thank you. I thought she's having a heart attack. So I left and I said, I'll see you later. Walked back up my driveway. And as I was walking up the driveway, I thought thereon and whereby and wherewith and withal. And and I received instruction under the sun like Solomon did. And I thought, you know something? I've seen that same girl with a big old Camaro come up in her driveway. Big wide tires on the back of it and he's jacked up. He's going downhill everywhere he went. Jacked up in the back. And something was in there. Big old woolly looking thing. And Brother Horn, beep! And I saw her of her own free will walk out of that house and get in the car with that thing. I was going up the driveway thinking, she screams at a mouse and will climb in a car with a wolf. There's a word for that, girl. It's called retarded. That that mouse ain't going to hurt you. I'll tell you what's going to hurt you. That little boy says, you're looking good, baby. You're looking good. There's your enemy right there. There's your enemy. There's the one that's fixing to mess you up. And the only way you're going to have enough sense to do what's right is to have the Lord guiding you in your heart. You need the Lord this morning to protect you. Because see, you say, well, I thought he meant it. Yeah, they all sound like he meant it. And he probably did at the time. But he meant it before he told that same thing to. You remember, if it starts out in puppy love, it'll lead to a dog's life. Amen. That's what I heard. Amen. You say, well, I just want to get married. I'd rather stay single and look for a man all day and get married and look for him all night. I'd rather be single than to wish I was, girls. Amen. You better let the Lord help you. I want to say early this morning. I want to say, secondly, you need Jesus for satisfaction in life. You know you ain't going to be happy until you're living for the Lord. Did you hear me? You are not really going to be happy until you're surrendered and living for God. Amen? He said, I'm the bread of life. I'm what will satisfy you. The world's got candy. He's the bread of the life. The world's got to give you a popsicle. But He's the bread of life, brother, that'll help you. Not drugs. Not popularity. You've heard me tell the story before, and I'll tell you this. I've got to hurry. I've got some other things to tell you. I was preaching up in Swannanoa at the juvenile center one time. We used to get to go up there and preach once in a while, and it was like 125, probably as much as these two sections right here, maybe, of young people. And they brought them all in there. And ever since I've been started preaching, God has always connected my heart to teenagers. I don't know why. I mean, I don't want to be just that, but it's always been that way. Always. Right now, you can set me down in a room full of 18-year-olds, 16, 15, 14, and I'm a whole lot more comfortable than I am with a bunch of grown-ups. I don't know why it's always been that way. Something in me never did grow up. But I'm going to tell you something. I was in there preaching that morning, and I got it, and I was preaching 125. They come crawling over the seats. They was doing like it. They was sitting on this part and putting their feet on this part. All of them, 14, 15, 16, like that. Pushing each other, shoving. I went, oh my goodness. I was about 19. And here I was ready to preach to them. I got up to preach and I said, oh my Lord, help me. Oh Lord, help me. Oh God, what am I going to do? And I started preaching the best I could. And I started getting their attention. They started listening. I thought, well, hallelujah. It was like the Spirit of the Lord grabbed their heart. And they started listening to every word I was saying. I said, amen. And so, I said two or three things, you know. Then I said something about marijuana, smoking pot. I said, it's not right. You don't need to do it. It's bad for you. Mess you up. And they always say, you know, why, you know, and don't battle, don't say, you know, don't act stupid, man. You know good and well, God don't want you doing something that's illegal for one thing and that will impair your vision and impair your judgment and make you think wrong. You know that. So don't try to argue a good case for it. I don't want to hear it. But anyway, I wasn't that brave then to say all that. But I just said something about it. And boy, they started getting mad. And this girl's about, I guess she's about 15. She's sitting up right over here in this middle section like this. And she started waving her hand up like that saying, no, no, I want to ask something. I want to ask a question. Right while I was preaching. I said, oh my soul. What am I going to do? So I looked over to this side and preached for a few minutes. And act like I didn't see her. I thought maybe she'll shut up if I just look over this way for a minute. And I said, the Bible says, I can see her over here waving her hand. I mean, you know, you just can't stop while you're preaching and let people just, I mean, you would have a free-for-all. There's in there like, and boy, I tell you, she kept raising her hand. Hey, I want to say something, preacher. So I didn't know what else to do. Finally, I just stopped and I said, okay, ma'am, what do you want to say? I done know that I'd messed up then. I didn't know what else to do. She said, if God didn't want us to smoke pot, why did He let it grow? And every one of them kids looked at me and said, yeah. I said, oh, Lord. And man, I shot up one of them little prayers. It's so quick you don't even have time to think. I said, oh, God, help me. And I looked right, I don't know where it come from, but I guess the Lord gave it to me. And I looked right back at her and I said, God made poison oak too, dummy. But that don't mean you're supposed to go out and wallow around in it. And they went. And I said, God made rattlesnakes, but that don't mean you're supposed to kiss them in the mouth. And all them said, yeah. I said, amen. And boy, I got up and I said, amen. The Lord shut you up. And I tell you what, boy, it was a blessing. And God got a hold of that crowd that day, and about 100 of them kids come to the altar, and a bunch of them got saved. You know why? Because deep down inside, and you know it, deep down inside, rock and roll will not make you happy. Rap will not make you happy. Deep down inside, a car will not make you happy. There's got to be a personal relationship with Jesus Christ down in your soul, right with God, for you'll ever be happy where you ought to be. And some of you young people here this morning needs to come down here and say, Lord, get the junk out of my life. Clean me up. I want to walk out of here satisfied this morning. I'm going to say thirdly, and I'm done. I said, first of all, you need Jesus for courage and protection. Second, you need Jesus for satisfaction in life. See, drugs are like a grasshopper. You can jump way up, but you always got to come back down. Number three, in closing, I'm going to say you need Jesus for security in death. Don't die without Jesus. Young people do die, you know. Nobody in here is promised another day. You know, I mean, teenagers die every single day. Every hour. There's been teenagers died with hell while I've been up here preaching this morning. The day's going to come for everybody. It means loneliness. It means hell forever. I like what the Bible said in the book of James. When lust hath conceived, it bring forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, bring forth death. That's LSD. Lust, sin, death. The devil was doing you like a man with a hog years ago. Some people still do. They'd raise a hog. My daddy did when I was growing up. We'd done two or three of them. And daddy'd have a hog in the hog lot. And what you'd do, you'd take a slop bucket. And the slop bucket was everything that wasn't ate. I don't care if it's pork chop bones, banana peelings, coffee grounds. Might have been baby diapers in there. Didn't matter to a hog. And you put all that stuff in the hog bucket, slop bucket. And you put it down there and slop that hog. And son, I'm telling you, that thing would eat everything and just get... And you know what? If that hog could talk, y'all listen to me? If that hog could talk, you'd say, come here, Mr. Hog. We'd like to interview you today. And you know, he put his nose up against this microphone. Smell it. You know, his nose is flat and it's real shiny and wet. You ever seen a hog's nose? Puh. And it's like this, and he's right up against this microphone going, everything they do, you know. Oink. and you know, this hog says, Mr. Hog, you enjoying life? Yeah. Look at my gut here. And you say, Mr. Hog, who's the best friend you got in this world? What would he say? That man that brings me that slop bucket every day. He is my buddy. All these other people just ride on bicycles and walk by and won't even come near me because I stink. He comes down here and brings me slop every day. He's my friend. But little does he know. Alas, that man's not his friend at all. That man ain't his friend, is he? He don't care nothing about that hog. All he's doing is fattening him up. And when he gets him right where he wants him, he'll come down there one day and he ain't going to have no slop bucket. He's going to have something that looks like this to that hog. Son, that's one dang moon used there, ain't it? That's one of them musket loads. Boom! And he comes down here and he says, he says, look up here, Myrtle. Hey. And she looks up like, where's my slop? He said, here's your slop for today, bless God. And right between the eyes, Myrtle goes to hog hell right there. Amen. I mean, it's over. She's gone. It's done. It's over for her. That guy didn't care about her. I'm going to tell you kids something here this morning. That's what the devil's doing to some of you. You think, well, I'm having fun, man. I'm out partying. I'm smoking that weed. I know that. You fool. You know what you're doing? You're just you don't smoke anyway. You're just a sucker. The cigarette does the smoking. And the devil is fattening you up for the kill. And one day you'll be going down the road somewhere, and about that time, car come around the curve on the other wrong side of the road, and it's over. It's over. And it happened this weekend. Some teenage girl, some teenage boy, left him last night and in the funeral home this morning in a casket. Without Jesus Christ.
I'm telling you, you need the Lord this morning because young people die. You've heard me tell that story over and over and over about Loy, who was raised an atheist family. And he got sick and was ready to die. And as he got his daddy came in. He said, "Daddy, I'm scared. Daddy, I'm scared. I'm dying. And I'm scared to die. I don't want to die." His daddy said, "Just hold on. Hold on, son. Everything's going to be all right." A few minutes, his mama come in. He said, "Mama, I'm scared." He said, "I don't mean to sound like this, but he said, I'm worried. I'm scared. I've never faced anything like this. So, Mama, please, what am I going to do?" She said, "Just hold on, son. You know how we've raised you, how we've taught you. Just hold on." And finally, in a few minutes, he just lost control of himself and began to scream out. He said, "Mama." He said, "My uncle said, just hold on." He said, "Daddy just said, hold on. Mama, everybody tells me to hold on. But Mama, what am I going on to?" Ain't nothing to hold on to. You kids here this morning, well, I'm going to miss out on fun. I'm going to miss out on some parties and all that. But you ought to thank God that you do. Because one of these days comes time for them to die, they ain't going to have nothing to hold on to. You know why you need Jesus this morning? For security. It's not just assurance. It's insurance. Insurance. We've got a home waiting on us in heaven. Yep. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. They're coming to get us a song.